Right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the blessings you give us, Lord, that we are truly blessed to have your word. Lord, I pray you help us by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to hear the Master's voice, Lord, to hear you speaking through it, Lord, and to learn the things and obey and believe the things that you want us to. Grant us your blessing, Lord, and help us, we pray. Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. John's been taking us, just a little brief recap in a way, John's been taking us to show how Jesus is progressively being rejected. We went to Jerusalem, remember where he committed the miracle, he did the miracle, they thought it was he committed the crime basically, did a miracle on the Sabbath of making the lame man well. And so the authorities, the Judean authorities, begin to reject Jesus. And then he goes up north, and we saw him do the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And they, after that, begin to reject Jesus. Right? And we're now, after his Galilean ministry, which was about quite a long period in time, he's going back to Jerusalem again. But before we get there, he has a conversation with his brothers. But we get to Jerusalem, and we see not the Judean authorities, but a mix, because it's feast time. It was the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. And so there's people from all around the Mediterranean. Some people have got no idea of what's going on, but the locals are well aware that they're gunning for Jesus. So there's that sort of combination of ideas coming out. But we'll start in chapter 7, the verse 1. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. So after his time in Jerusalem, he goes back up to Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. So Jesus stalls them in a way. He's continuing his work in the north just to help his disciples and so on. Yeah, right. But when the Jewish feast of the tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, so John writes it was the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. Now again, you know why John writes it's the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles? Because he's writing to people who aren't Jews. Right? Just to fill in the details for them. And the Feast of Tabernacles was? Don't know.
What's that place?
It's called Sukkot now. What's that what they call it? Yeah. It means tents, basically. They built tents or booths out of leaves and things. It was to remind them of their time in the wilderness when they came out of Egypt. So it was one of the interesting things about the Jews, and it's just cropped up quite often of late, is to the Jews, their history isn't history. They relive it all the time. Yeah. So they're in the wilderness when they do the Feast of Booths and so on. So it's a living thing for them. Right? And that, in one of the ways, is why the Bible has kept them as a people throughout all the times that they've been persecuted, right, left and centre, and scattered, and everywhere else. It's the Bible that's kept them, but it's the living it out in the memorials and so on that has really been one of those anchor points. So the Feast of Tabernacles was a yearly celebration when people came up to Jerusalem, and everybody who was able, well enough, built tents and lived in them for a week. It was another one of those party times, you know. A mix of a party. Living in a tent can be a party, can it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, right. So some of us, it's not quite as party-ish as others. But, yeah, the idea is that they were living out, and it was a real, well, put it this way, it was a real leveller in society. Mm. Top brass, low brass, nobodies and everybody, and big boys, you know, yeah. They were all in the same boat. It was one of God's ways of saying, you're in it together.
Yeah.
So that was the type of thing that was going on at the feast. And of course, they did eat. They did eat, yes, so that was one of the things. A 7-day feast, yeah. Right, so if that was the time. It was the time of the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. And it was coming close to it. Jesus' brothers said to him, now, Jesus' brothers, who were Jesus' brothers? Everybody, but it doesn't mean everybody. It's his family. His family, right. Now then, there's an issue about this. I don't know if you're aware of this. The Roman Catholics teach that Mary never had any child after Jesus. You know that, don't you?
She had lots.
Yeah. Well, she had lots. There is one little escape thought that you could do if you want to be nice to them. Yeah, and it's this. It may have been that Joseph had married and lost his wife already and had children already. And these are the older ones. That's the one they say. Yeah. I'm not convinced. Yeah. But anyway, that's just a thought for you, eh?
But doesn't it say that when she, your mother and your brothers are outside?
Yes. Well, that would be true if they were stepbrothers or not.
Yeah, but your mother wouldn't be there.
Your mother? I suppose they call her mother. I think they're genuine brothers and sisters. Yeah, that's my position on that one. Yeah, just offering you why some people think differently. That's all. Yeah. Okay. So Jesus' brothers say to him, "You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples may see the miracles you do." Notice the use of the word "your."
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not part of it. Yeah. And they say to Jesus, "Oi, if you really want to show yourself out, go to where the big crowds are. Yeah? Don't be stuck up here in Galilee. Go south where the party's going on, in Jerusalem." Yeah, that's what their idea is. Right. "No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret." Well, they're saying is, you've got this claim to be Messiah, you know. Not that they're convinced, yeah. You've got this claim to be a Messiah. Well, you can't be a Messiah if you don't go public. That's really their argument, yeah. Right. "Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." What were these things? They'd seen him do miracles. I mean, that's astounding, isn't it? You mean?
Yeah.
Think about it. They've seen the astounding miracles that Jesus did. I suppose they thought there were people who'd done miracles before. You know, the prophets and all those guys. But anyway, that's what they say. "Show yourself to the world. For even his own brothers did not believe in him." That's strange, isn't it? Mind you, it's true, you know. You'd be so close to somebody, you don't see them. Mm. It's the way it goes, isn't it, yeah? And, did they come to believe in him?
Yes.
Yes, but only after his resurrection. Yes. But, these are part of the family, but not part of the family, which is sad to say, yeah? But they'll get there, yeah? "Therefore, Jesus told them, 'The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right.'" Yeah, so he's saying, it's not time for me to go to the feast, and it's not time for me to publicly put myself on show, because I'm running according to a different clock to you.
Yeah.
It's Father who's telling me when to do things, not you lot, yeah? So, and he says, but any time's right for you, you can do it the way you want, because you're part of the system, which he just now explains. "The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil." Now, what does he mean by the world? What does John, who's writing this, mean by the world?
Non-believers.
Not the Jews, the non-believers, the unbelieving world. Gentiles and Jews, because there's a few of them in Jerusalem who don't believe either.
Yeah.
Basically, those who are in the anti-God system, really. I mean, they might claim to be believers, but they're anti-God because they show it in the way they react to God and to Jesus, of course. So he's saying, the world cannot hate you because you're part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it loves its own. Right? But it hates me because I testify that what it does is evil. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, you can't sit on the fence with Jesus. When he's there, he shows up what's really like, you know. That's why Christians are a target so often. Yeah? You don't have to say anything. Right? They just pick on you because your being a Christian means Jesus is there, and Jesus sets off a reaction.
Doesn't like him.
Yeah. So, says they hate me. That's a sad thing, isn't it? But there we are, that's how it is. Right, so, now then. "You go to the feast. I'm not yet going up to this feast." Well, some versions say, "I'm not going." Full stop, yeah? Right, but my version puts in "yet" as an explanatory note, yeah? So, Jesus says, "You go to the feast, I'm not going to this feast." Well, basically, he's not going to the feast, he's going to half of the feast, as it turns out. Yeah. But he's not going their time, and their route. I suspect Jesus is going to take a different direction, as we'll see. So, "I'm not going up to this feast, because for me, the right time has not yet come." Right, so Jesus is waiting instructions. Isn't that interesting? Are you good at that? Waiting on God's instructions? I like to be doing, you know, right? Tell me now, Lord, and I'll do it now. But keep me waiting and I don't like it. But there we are, his timing is perfect, you see. Right? If Jesus had gone up earlier, they'd have probably arrested him. Right? That's what their plans were already, yes? So Jesus snookers them by not turning up when they thought he was coming.
Yeah.
Right, so that's part of it, I guess. So, my time has not yet come. Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. Right? So Galilee is where Jesus' main activity was for quite a while. Now, the customary thought about Galilee is it's one of these northern backwaters where they're just dumb idiots up there, you know. The sophisticates are in the big city in Jerusalem. That was perhaps some of the idea. But recent modern archaeology and studies have shown that in Galilee there was a very thriving religious culture going on there, right? Jesus was in the heart of the trailblazers in many ways. Yeah? So he was teaching people up in Galilee because that's where the action was in a way. Anyway, right, so he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. So his brothers went to the feast. How did they go to the feast? Any guesses? Their best clothes? It's not what they're wearing, I'm thinking of how they got there. Physically. They went as a group. Normally, for these feasts, people went in what we would call caravans. Not with wheels on, you know, but groups of people. Remember how when Jesus went up to his bar mitzvah and Joseph and Mary took him and he got lost, as far as they were concerned, with the other crowd of people. It's because they went in big groups. It's the safest way to travel and it's the fun way to travel. Parties. See? And so that's how the groups travelled up to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. They went in groups. So brothers have gone off with the gang and the villages and surrounding area. And Jesus waits and he says he went secretly. So he took either a different route or he went after them, of course, later on when they've all cleared off. So he's going without any public show or anything like that. Yeah? So that's when Jesus leaves. Now then. He's going up quietly. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, where is that man? Right, so while Jesus is travelling there, the feast has begun.
Oh, yes.
Already. Right? And he says, the Jews. Remember how John uses the term the Jews? Yeah. He doesn't mean Jewish people. He means the leading authorities, the nasty people who are in charge. Right? That's who he's talking about.
I thought he was coming.
And they were expecting him to come.
Yeah.
Right? And he says, where is that man? They won't mention his name. Notice that, yeah?
No.
Right? But where is he? They're on the lookout for him. They're planning to kill him. That's their intention, yeah? So, where is that man? Now then, among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, he's a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. So, think of this crowd. There's a lot of people in Jerusalem. It's party time, yeah? Feast of Tabernacles. There's a lot of people, locals and people far away. And so all this talking's going on in the background of saying, some are saying, he's a good man from what they've heard, what they've seen. They think he's okay. Right? But others are very negative. That's the probably the two opinions are of different groups, I would suggest.
Yeah.
The people who say he's okay, or those who haven't heard any of the nasty stuff that the locals in Jerusalem have been saying, they're saying he's alright. And then the locals are really hot under the collar, and they say, no, he's a deceiver. Yeah, so that's the two opinions that are going around. But they don't say anything publicly about him for fear of the authorities. We use the authorities instead of the word Jews. Because the authorities haven't actually said either he's accepted or he isn't. Right, and this is a terrible state of affairs in the nation.
They want to see what they got to say.
Exactly. They won't say a word unless you say the wrong thing and they come down on you like a ton of bricks. Yeah? The public are afraid of their leaders.
Mm.
That's a dictatorship, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And, well, that's what's going on there. And Jesus is absolutely challenging. Now, that's why they got really hot under the collar about it, yeah? But the people are scared of the leadership. We'll see that later on in John's Gospel, when the blind man's healed. His parents won't say.
Yes.
Because they're afraid of the authorities.
Yeah.
And they carry a lot of wait, yeah. So people are keeping, well, it maybe is, maybe isn't, but keep it quiet, yes, sort of thing, right? Not until halfway through the feast did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. So halfway through the feast, Jesus turns up. I assume that was when he turned up. He might have turned up earlier, but I can't imagine him being hidden while he turns up in Jerusalem. So I suspect he turned up halfway through the feast, having arrived just then, yeah?
His time.
Right, his time, yeah. And what does he do? He goes up to the temple courts. That's where the people were crowding in, of course. And he begins to teach. How does he teach? He sits down. People who were teachers were sat down. Did you know that? Not like us, having to stand up all the time. I need a chair here, you know. But anyway, there you go. Jesus is teaching as a typical rabbi, in a way. But what he says is not typical in any measure, as we'll see, right? So, Jesus is teaching. The Jews, the authorities again, yeah, were amazed. And when he says amazed, that means they were really pleased to see him, doesn't it?
No.
No, they were miffed. That's what it means, yeah? They were put out. Amazed, yeah? They were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? That's their problem. Their problem is, he doesn't qualify according to their standards. Yeah, I heard a very sad bit. It was about First World War aces, British ace pilots. Yeah, two of these guys got Victoria Crosses. Yeah, and one posthumously, but both of them came from very common backgrounds. You know, born in the barracks type thing. You know, right? One of them was sent back to France. He wanted to go to lead a squadron of pilots there. Right, and they wouldn't have him because he wasn't public school. Well, this is them. He's not public school. He hasn't had a proper education. So how on earth can he come out with what he's coming out with? it really staggered them, you know. Isn't that nice? I like that, yeah. And the reason, well, we'll see, the reason why Jesus can come out with what Jesus is coming out with, it's because he's getting it from somewhere else.
Not there.
Yeah, exactly. So, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Right. Well, there's an encouragement for you who feel you're thick. Right. You might learn a few things when God teaches you that even the cleverest people won't get.
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, there's an encouragement for you, John. Anyway, that's what they see. They see is, well, they did it with the disciples as well. We come to Acts. If you go to Acts, when Peter and John stand up and start to testify about the guy they've just been used to heal, you know, the lame man. Yeah. They say, where did they get all this from? Because they were really handling the scriptures. They were talking back to their authorities, you know, they were fishermen. And they says, they took note. They'd been with Jesus. That's where they got it from, yes. Well, I'll say it again. The thing that they didn't see was, it wasn't that they'd been with Jesus, which was true, but it was that Jesus was still with them. That's what gave them the boldness by the Holy Spirit, you see. Anyway, here's Jesus in himself speaking here. So Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. Right? So he's making it very plain. I'm not getting my stuff from where you get it from. I'm getting it from the original. Yeah? If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. If you really want to know what the truth is, that's what Jesus is saying. If you really want to know what the truth is, you be committed to doing what God says, and you'll find out it's what Jesus says. Yeah? If you're willing to do what God says, you're willing to follow what he says, it says anyone who chooses to do God's will, they'll find out. The ring of truth will be there. So Jesus is challenging them there, yeah? Right. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honour for himself. And blow your own trumpet. Yeah? But he who works for the honour of the one who sent him is a man of truth. So Jesus is saying, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for Father.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. Yes. Okay. There's nothing false about him. Absolutely. Isn't that lovely, eh?
Yeah.
You know, our Jesus is perfect. Isn't that great? Yes. So nothing false about him. Right, now then. Jesus is going to challenge them. Because they were really miffed. The locals were miffed because he'd done that miracle on the Sabbath. Remember?
Yeah. Right.
So he says this. Has not Moses given you the law? Well, they're very keen on Moses, you know. Only is that Moses is going to accuse them, as he said earlier on. Yeah. Yet not one of you keeps the law. Yeah, you talk about having it, but you don't do it. There's a challenge for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
How much do you know that you don't do? Ooh, brothers and sisters, well, there we are. How much do you know that you don't do? Because the bit that you don't do will come back to bite you. That's the way it works, yeah. Right, okay. That was it Mark Twain said about the Bible? He says, it's not the bits I don't understand that worry me, it's the bits I do.
No,
yes. Yes. Okay, yet none of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? So he points straight at them, you see.
Yeah, he's not writing his words, is he?
No, no. Why are you trying to kill me? He's wanting them to think about... They're talking about keeping the law, and they're going to be breaking it. Yeah, one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. You mustn't murder. Yeah, so, why are you trying to kill me?
But he knew the hearts, didn't he?
Yeah.
Ah, right. So, you're demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who's trying to kill you? Now, which priest of the crowd says that? Is it the locals or is it the visitors?
The locals, probably, isn't it?
Visitors, because they don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Oh.
They've just turned up in Jerusalem, everything's nice as far as they know. They don't know the nasty scheming plots that the authorities are up to, which the locals do know. Yeah, that's my guess on it, yeah? Okay. So they say, well, a guy talking like this must have lost the plot. And the reason he's lost the plot is he's demon possessed. That's what they say, yeah? So, you're demon possessed, the crowd answered. Who's trying to kill you? Jesus said to them, I did one miracle, and you're all astonished. Well, he's done more than one miracle. He's pointing to the one miracle that they got upset about.
Yeah.
That's what he means, yeah? Yeah? And the miracle was healing the man who was lame at the pool.
Oh, yeah. On the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Notice they don't...
I didn't know one thing that was Sunday.
Yes. No, but one of the amazing things about the Bible is the people at the time did not dispute that he'd done a miracle.
Yeah.
You have to live 2,000 years away from the events, you know, and go to a church that doesn't believe anything in order to dispute a miracle. Yeah. They got no problems with the miracle. The problem was when he did it. Right. So, I did one miracle and you're astonished. Yet because he's gonna real tie them up now. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses but from the patriarchs. Yeah, so he's talking about one of the basic things about their Jewish practices is circumcision. It's written into the law. Moses wrote it down. But Moses didn't get it from God. Yeah? Moses, well, I mean God did give it in the end, but Moses got it from Abraham. Yeah, it was God that told Abraham to do that, right? And it was passed down to the generations of the Jews, right? So, but it was written into the law. So he's saying Moses gave him the circumcision, but it wasn't Moses, it was the patriarchs originally, yeah? Right. And so, you circumcise a child on the Sabbath. Why do they do that? Yeah, I know, but why do they circumcise a child sometimes on the Sabbath? What's the rule for circumcision?
So many days after birth.
So many days. How many days?
Eight
days. 8 days after their birth, right, the child, the boy child, has to be circumcised as a Jew. Yeah?
Isn't it medically proven that on about the eighth day, your body stops?
Well, it may be that, but also the levels of vitamin K, which is the blood clotting agent, is at its highest.
Yeah.
It's the highest it is in your life, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how did they know that?
Yeah.
They didn't.
They didn't. I know somebody who did. Yes. So, that was the point. The child's born on the eighth day, and if he's born at the wrong time, the eighth day comes on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
That's the point, yeah?
Yeah.
So, on the Sabbath, what they do is, in order to keep the original rule, they'll break the Sabbath rule.
Yeah? So why are they having a go about that? Yeah.
Yes. So he says, now, if a child can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, because Moses says you have to circumcise the child on the eighth day, right? Yeah. So if you're going to circumcise your child on the Sabbath, why are you angry with me for healing the whole man on the Sabbath? Eh? I didn't just do circumcision, I sorted him out, lock, stock and barrel. That's good, isn't it? Mm. Well, they weren't very pleased about it. Yeah. So Jesus gives them a bit of a criticism. Stop judging by mere appearances. Use your brains, is what he's getting at. Think about it and make a right judgment. Yeah, you're just going on the surface of things. Whereas if you really thought it through, you'd see that I was acting perfectly in accord with what God wants. Yeah. So, he's giving as good as he gets, isn't he, there? Right. So, at that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask. Notice who this crowd is? They're some of the people of Jerusalem. They're locals from Jerusalem. They began to ask, isn't this the man they're trying to kill? They know.
Yeah.
Whereas the visitors don't. Yeah. Isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Here he is, speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ, the Messiah? So they're thinking, which way do we jump? It looks like they've decided he is the Messiah, because they're letting him go on. Right. But they're not happy with him, of course. So they say this, but we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from. Yeah? Well, that was part of the idea. They wouldn't. There was a sort of a tradition around that the Messiah, you wouldn't know who his parents were. You know, they get it from Isaiah, possibly. Who can speak of his generation? And so on. It's Isaiah 53.
Right?
Well, possibly so. We know where he's from. We know he's the son of Joseph and Mary, don't we? Right? And we know he's from up north. So he's definitely not qualified to be the Messiah. Right? We know. I've said this before, friends. Be very careful of saying we know. Yeah. There was a statement by Oliver Cromwell. He had to deal with the very strong Puritans, you know, when they were wanting to establish a sort of state church type thing. And they were, you know how church leaders can have very strong opinions about things. And Cromwell's in the middle of all of it. He said, gentlemen, think it possible you might be wrong. They wouldn't think that at all. Yeah, but anyway, there we are. They know. We absolutely know. You see, that's what they're saying. Yeah. Right. Then Jesus, still teaching in the temple courts, cried out. And this is not quiet, it's loud. He cries out loud. Yes, you know me, and you know where I'm from. Yeah? How does he say that? Is that saying, I agree with you?
No.
No. It's sort of sarcasm. I'm not angry with you, isn't it? Yeah? You know me, and you know where I'm from. You don't know nothing. That's right, yeah. And he says, I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true, and you do not know him, but I know him because I am from him, and he sent me.
Wow.
So basically saying is, you don't know God.
No.
I'm not here on my own business. I've come from God. I know him, he knows me, and you don't know anything. You say you know, and you don't know anything that really matters, yeah? It's a terrible thing when the Lord says that, yeah? Right. You do not know him. That's a terrible condemnation of anybody, yeah? Right. At this, they tried to seize him. But no one laid a hand on him because his time had not yet come. Who's they who tried to seize him?
The
authorities.
Yeah.
The authorities. Yeah. So why don't they grab him?
Because time hasn't come yet.
Well, that's the real reason. But what was their reason? They were afraid of riots. They were afraid that people might turn a bit nasty towards them. Yeah. Right. So God can use the fear of man to do what he wants to happen. But John is making the clear point, behind it all, whatever their reasons that they wanted to arrest him but they couldn't, behind it all is because God's in charge of the time. Jesus is not going to die at the Feast of Tabernacles. We've got 6 months to come yet before we get to the Feast of Passover. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's why. God's time, not theirs. So, because his time has not yet come. Still, many in the crowd put their faith in him. Yeah? They said, when the Christ comes, will he do more miraculous signs than this man? So, some of them are getting the idea he's the Messiah, though quite what their idea of Messiah is, it's hard to say, but they obviously realise he's a bit more genuine than the authorities are making out, yeah? Right. Okay, and then we'll just finish with this verse. The Pharisees heard the crowd whispering such things about him. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to arrest him. So things are turning not quite the way they want it, so they sent some off to try and arrest him. But it's not going to happen, is it? But you've got to wait till next time till we find out. Sorry about that. It's a good bit as well, but we'd better stop there. It's quite a long chapter. So, Jesus goes to the feast, teaches the people, and some of them don't like it. Strange, isn't it? He's their Messiah. That must have really hurt him, you know, in many ways. You know, when he comes to the Passover, and he says he came over the hill to look down on Jerusalem on the donkey. When he saw Jerusalem, he wept. Yeah. Oh dear. Oh well. There are those that did come to know him, which is good, eh?
Said some of them believed it.
Yes. So there you are. It's all depends on the state of your heart, doesn't it? Really. Mm-hmm. If you're biased against him, nothing's right. But if you're open to him, then you get to see and understand the truth. Well, Lord, help us to be receptive. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus, for telling the truth, for being the truth, Lord. You are the one who the Bible speaks of as the coming one, the Messiah, the Lord of life. We thank you, Lord. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that we may receive all the things you have to teach us, willingly, openly, Lord. Whether we understand it, whether we not know everything, Lord, I'm sure that's the case for all of us, Lord, but help us to be open to you and to hear what you have to say, and in hearing it, respond to it, Lord. Thank you for those that were willing to listen and opened up to you. Lord, it's a tragedy when we see people turning their backs on you and rejecting, Lord, through ignorance and being stirred up by things that they've been told, I guess. Lord, we pray for the gospel today, Lord, that as it goes out, it may find receptive hearts, Lord. We pray for that, our community here. We pray, Lord, that we may be lights in this dark place, but Lord, you will prepare hearts and minds to be open, Lord, and not to be closed off. Lord, we live in days where the enemy is so busy trying to turn people off Jesus. Lord, we pray, Lord, turn back the darkness. Let your light shine. And Lord, we pray you'll use us for your glory. We just thank you, Lord, for being faithful and going on, Lord, in the face of all the oppositions. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that even your earthly brothers at one time were outside, didn't want to know, didn't believe, and yet, Lord, came through strong. Lord, you're amazing. We thank you for the work and the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel, that Jesus died and rose again and comes to give life. Thank you, Lord.